Truly embracing your complexities means rejecting anything that can harm who you are, like smoking cigarettes, which can damage nearly every part of your body. Tap the banner to see more. This free life. Freedom to be tobacco free.
This is Sound the Shofar on Warn Radio. It is Shabbat and time for fellowship, the Word of God and rest. Join us now as we enter into Sound the Shofar on the Watchman Alert Radio Network. Welcome. You're listening to Friday's edition of Sound the Shofar. I'm the Watchman, Dana Smith, and Tower won't be with us tonight. And busy time. She has been able to make it the last couple of shows, but she'll be back next week. She was with us on our advocacy program, and she is indeed a helpmate. She is one that really does help out, and from the heart as well. Tonight we are in part 7 of Timothy, and we went through 1 Timothy. And we're going to be into 2 Timothy. And this is Soldier of Christ. You know, we remember well the old songs, Onward Christian Soldiers. But if you ever thought being a Christian was easy, you need to think again. You know, when you first become a Christian, I mean truly get born again, truly, it's quite a change. Tower and I both experienced that, as well as others that we've discussed it with. But you get that idea that from somewhere, probably from living in America, or you could even put it in the West, Christianized Western nations. In other words, other nations other than the Far East, the Middle East, etc. Today, stoning, being burned alive and murdered by mobs, just because you're a Christian, goes on all the time. And so, in today's show, Paul is talking to Timothy and has some continued admonitions for him or instructions. Remember that with all these shows, they are broadcast over a big array of networks. iHeartRadio, TuneIn, Spreaker, Blueberry, and many others. You can go over to warren-usa.com and you'll find the Spreaker app there. And you can listen to the shows, the audios on that. But we publish all the audios and the videos. The videos are on our high-def site over at Vimeo, but we embed them over on our website at warren-usa.com. And so, on the front, where you find that Spreaker app, below the app itself, you will see a link, lots of links as to where you'll find the show. And then, of course, if you want to really get into it, the Vimeo has all kinds of streams on various platforms other than the internet. So you could get your television and watch it. So check out those. You can follow us on hashtag WatchmanIS216, hashtag Warren Radio, or hashtag WGS Watchman. You can follow us by going to Instagram and searching for Warren Radio. You can go to our Facebook page. And, man, we're on Tumblr. And all kinds of various things. So check those out. And if you want to contact us for any reason, go to our websites at warren-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com. You're not going to get much action by trying to contact us through Facebook Messenger or something like that. If you want to talk to us, it needs to be important. If you have a question, something, go to the websites. And so, at any rate, we are counting down, of course, till the end of the year. It's hard to believe. But around here, things go by so fast, it's absolutely unbelievable. And, you know, Tower and I have come to really enjoy our weekends. Shabbat, Friday night. And through Saturday night and the weekends, it's about the only time we're busy all the other times. It's hard to believe how busy you can get, but you know, the bottom line of it is that a lot of people are busy. I mean, busy. And then when they're not busy, they're in front of their screens. Smartphone, laptop, tablet, PC. And you know, this isn't good. It's really not. I spend an awful lot of time every week to do the show. Been doing that. We're in 21 years now. And it's too much time. But it just takes so much to do it all. I mean, everybody, not just me. I mean, if you've got a website, if you've got a ministry doing stuff of any kind, it just takes tons and tons of time. And then, of course, you've got all the stresses going on around the world, the problems. And then you've got things that are grievous, like when we're advocating for the persecuted church and we're We're discussing it. And some of the recent ones were Pastor Brunson and Asiya Bibi. They were both released. Brunson made it home, but Asiya never did get out of prison. Now, we reported that she had, and the information that was coming down was that she was, but she actually was taken into protective custody because there were so many Muslims rioting to kill her. So then there was calls for nations to offer her immunity and bring her in so she could become a citizen of their country, you know. And the UK came out right away saying that they wouldn't do it. They have a bunch of radical Muslims over there. Plus, they've passed the EU as well, passed the law about blasphemy of Muhammad or Allah, their blasphemy law. And that's what Asiya was convicted of, but there was no proof. She didn't do anything. The evidence proves she didn't do anything. And so that's why she was released. Well, it's a big mess over there now. So we don't know how she's going to get out of there. Not many of the ministries really know what's going on. And I think even her lawyer left the country. You know, in China, it's the same way. The advocates that are lawyers for the persecuted church and others over there, other groups, have been wound up missing in China over the years. So it's dangerous to be a lawyer standing up for Christians or for some other group that the state doesn't like. But this is the way it is. This is life 101. It's in your face. And while we enjoy our safe Christmases, Christmas around the world for Christians is deadly, just like Easter is. Over in India, the Hindus target Christians at Christmas because this is a big time Christians are celebrating. They don't like it. They don't like them singing. They don't like them meeting. They don't like their churches. Muslims don't either. And in some of these nations, I think India even passed it, that Christians are forbidden to celebrate Christmas. And so this really is the way the world is today. And many, many years ago when I was first going into the ministry, answering the call, went to school, our missionaries that would stop by, you know, there were just closed nations. You couldn't get into them. And with the advent of the internet stuff, those areas opened up. And so more and more they're citizens, and that's, you know, Muslims became ex-Muslims and became Christians, and Hindus became ex-Hindus and became Christians. So these places became very, very alarmed, and so the persecution began because they didn't like the Christians proselytizing. Well, we're commanded to give our testimony, talk about the Lord, that's it. You don't like it, we can't help it. That's the way it is. And so what happened is that the persecution increased. Well, in some areas, the Christians did keep it quiet. But people got saved anyway. And then the reports started coming in that there were ex-Muslims and others who actually got visited, that actually had visions of the Lord, that the Lord worked in their lives. There was times when Christians were being persecuted, that he appeared to the Muslims. This is documented. And we've been seeing tremendous miracles, tremendous events going on, people getting saved. And so the bottom line is this: Christians are supposed to give their testimony. Revelation 12:11, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb, meaning you're redeemed, born again of the Spirit, you received him. John 1, John 3, Acts 3 through 7, 1 John 1. And so, so you're born again. They overcame him, meaning the devil, by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony. They're supposed to testify. The Lord said in the Gospels that if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before the Father and his angels. If you deny me, I'll deny you before the Father and his angels. And they loved not their life unto the death. And the Lord said, whosoever should lose their life for my sake in the gospel shall find it. That's Revelation 12:11. That is a marching order for the last days. That's our guidance. And so, along with that, the Lord is moving. And that's the way it is. The Muslims don't like it, the Hindus don't like it, the nations don't like it, the Gentiles don't like it, the communists don't like it, the Chinese don't like it, Americans don't, it doesn't matter what you don't like. Whether you like it or not, God's will is going to be done on this earth. Above the earth, in the earth, beneath the earth, and throughout the heavens. There is no power that can stop it. You can burn every Bible on the face of this earth, but that ain't going to stop the Word of God. The Bible is our copy. The law of God is written in the hearts of every angel he has, and he has countless. The laws of God are written on the tablets in heaven and in the books. You ain't going to change nothing. Read Psalm 2. Why do the heathen rage and the nations imagine a vain thing against the Lord and his anointed? That's the first part of Psalm 2. Later on it says, kiss the Son, lest he be angry. It's time for some heathen to kiss the Son. It's time for some nations to kiss the Son, because if they don't, they're going to find his wrath. Come to him. So, when we really talk about it and get into what Paul is trying to tell Timothy, being in the Roman Empire, this is 2 Timothy 2. Thou therefore, my son, of course we've talked about this, Paul is the spiritual father of Timothy. We all have spiritual fathers. My dad was born again at an Amy Simple McPherson meeting. His mother, my grandmother, was a godly woman. But my grandfather, who was worked for the government, he was a, you'd call him a, we call him forest rangers, but he was in the station on Catalina. And so he was an atheist. So when I was being raised, Dad made sure we got into church. I got into church all the time. But God had to get me out of that organized church. It was Methodist. I knew about Jesus. I knew the stories. I knew them all. You know, I had been baptized and all the rest, went through the whole thing, went to MYF camp, you know. But God had to get me out of there in order to really give me the salvation of which he wanted. I'd been dipped in religion, but I hadn't been dipped in the Son of God as I should have. That changed me. Totally. Did the same with Tower. And so in the faith, there were several spiritual fathers that I had. One was my main pastor, Brother Kennedy. And out of his church, we were, as I've said before, one of about nine, ten couples that were leaving to go into the ministry together. And four of the couples we knew real well. They were friends, people we knew. And of course, when we went to Bible school, we wound up with some of the teachers there, like Brother Ward Williams was a mentor to me. We had several couples there, and we all graduated together. All graduated from the same school, I should say. And, you know, so you develop that bond. And Paul had developed that bond. And, of course, Timothy had developed it back. He looked upon Paul. Timothy had a call in his life. Paul had sent him out with the blessing of the leadership. And Paul had laid hands on him and sent him out. So he says, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Grace is his favor. With the favor of Christ, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And so that's our sustenance. In this body, it's weak. But the Spirit is strong. We must be found in Christ. Walk in Him. Just mere going to church and religion ain't going to do it. Not anymore. There was a time you used to get away with that. But like we have an old saying around here, did you put starch in them jeans? Well, see, today that's kind of a bad phrase because people don't use starch like that. But the old days, they would starch them up. You know, they'd be stiff. They would be solid. The phrase means, do you got enough strength to stand? You know, are you going to be able to stand there? Do you have starch in your jeans? Well, Paul said it this way, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Anybody can say they know the Lord, but you need to be strong in His grace. Anybody can go to church. Anybody can say they know Jesus, but I'll tell you, the test is around the world every day. And the enemy, we'll find out what kind of commitment you have in Christ. Verse 2, he says, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So Paul teaches Timothy, Timothy teaches others, all faithful. And, of course, the things that Paul taught, he says, you heard me among many witnesses. This is something that wasn't done, you know, in a closet somewhere. This was open. And the idea is, spreading that faith, teaching others who can take it and teach others. Because we must declare the generation of Jesus Christ. Every generation that's born is responsible for reaching their generation for Christ. And so as one generation passes on, there's another one ready to take over. So this is the Father to the Son. The Father in the faith, Paul, to the Son, Timothy. Be strong in the favor that is in Christ Jesus, and those things which you heard from me, pass those on to faithful men, men who will stand, men, and that also includes women, who will stand and are able to witness and teach others this same grace that's found in Christ. And now the next verse is where he defines it. Because we're not just Sunday morning warriors, especially if you're overseas, or right now in China, because they're declaring a new war on Christianity. Thou, therefore, you, Timothy, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Now, that doesn't mean that his heart is hard or cold. It means that he will endure hardness. When you go to battle as a good soldier, any kind of a soldier, you know, you have K rations, you've got to sleep outside most of the time. There's certain things required of soldiers in order to be classified a soldier. And as a soldier, a good soldier of Jesus Christ, you have to endure hardness. In other words, you have to be able, once you get out there, to stand. And Paul explains this. He says, no man that warreth entangle himself in the affairs of this life. And that was common among many of the early, like the Roman Empire, and even among the Greeks and the Spartans especially. They didn't get entangled in the regular everyday affairs of life. They were soldiers. They were warriors. And so he's talking to Timothy, and these are the things he needs to pass on. Now these are the, you look at it and you say, well, does that mean all Christians need to be that way? Well, we are all to be testifying. The song Onward Christian Soldiers refers to Christians moving forward in the faith of Christ. This is our path. And we have to be strong in that grace, and we have to endure hardness, be willing to stand and endure and walk in Christ, no matter what people may think. But when we're talking about the leadership, how much even more do we have to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ? How much more do we have to be strong in that grace? So he says, no man that wars, if you go to war as a soldier, you're not going to be visiting the Piggly Wiggly every day and going out to eat at, you know, the local fast food place you have there in Rome. And the reason you're warring, you can't get entangled in all these things. Now, the Lord gave a warning in Luke 21. I think it's 34 through 36 or 7. And he talks about that same thing. Not getting caught up in all the issues of life so that the day comes upon you unaware. You know, the Bible, the New Testament is full of warnings about watching. Christians are to watch. Look for the signs of the season. They're to press ahead. There's nothing that says retreat. Nothing. Nothing that says you need to make a peace treaty with the devil. The minute you make a peace treaty with the devil, you've lost. He's a liar and a thief, a father of lies, and anybody that follows him is a liar and a thief like he is. And there's a lot of people following the devil today, especially in America, and they think they're fine, but that's who they're following. We are living in a time that Paul described as perilous. And boy, you could say it's perilous. Perilous plus. So if you're going to go to war, you're not going to be, you know, concerned about all the things that are going on in town. You're going to go to war and you want to make it through the war. And you don't want to die in the process. And for Christians, that means we need to be open to the Lord. We need to hear his word. We need to make sure that we're being led of him. And also it means that there are miracles and signs and wonders of deliverances. We see that all the time. And for years, first-hand reports of pastors, this going clear back when we were first dealing with some of the Christian pastors and evangelists in India we were dealing with. Yes, they had persecution. They were beat up, chased out of villages. They'd go back and they saw miracles and signs and wonders. People getting healed, entire villages getting saved. This is the history. I know this. First-hand report. And today we get the same kind of reports. Now, verse 5. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. And there is a certain thing that the Lord requires of us. He says, the husbandman that laboreth must first be first partaker of the fruits. And the fruits, there are spiritual fruits that we need to be able to have manifest, and that's what he's talking about, the fruits. Now, Jesus talks about the fruits in John 15, where he says, I'm the vine, you are the branches. My Father is the husbandman, and any branch that does not bear fruit, he will trim it. And if you don't produce fruit, the branch will get cut off, and they'll be burned, he said. Also in John 15, he says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. There are fruits. And these are the things that Christ expects. He says, consider what I say. The Lord give you understanding in all things. Excuse me. so. Now, you see, he's trying to give him some background. Some stuff that he believes is very important. He talked about the fruits, but he says, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. To mine too. Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Now see, this is very, very important. Because there are many brethren. This week we reported about this young man who had been working in China and in some other nations close to it. The Chinese arrested him and he faced charges. He faces 7 years in prison. He's in prison now. He didn't do anything. But they're cracking down on Christians. Then we reported in China on four more major pastors. These are pastors that have churches there, who have all been arrested. This is part of an ongoing persecution. Now, see, that's five Christian leaders that are locked up now. People that had been working. This one young man had been working for, what was it, over 20 years. Pastor Brunson in Turkey, who got locked up, was working over 20 years in Turkey. And then there was another evangelist, and he was locked up too, and he had been working for a long time like that in Turkey. And he was banned from the country because he was preaching the gospel, and his family is still in Turkey. And I don't know if they can't leave or not, but he can't come in to get them. He hasn't seen them. So that's four, five in China, two in Turkey now. Top Christian leaders, people who are on the ground, workers for Christ, that labor just as the apostles labored. And they've been cut short. Two of them been cast out of the country they're working in. And they left behind fruits. Hopefully some of that fruit will take over because they're not there to work it. And then you've got the five in China. You know, and the Chinese are real, real. The Christians over there are really well known for having deep roots. And they're willing to suffer, you know. But just think of, you know, the age and the maturity and the ability of these leaders to be able to give the gospel and to help people. They can't do that. They're in prison. Well, you can say, well, they can help prisoners. Well, yeah, they can, and they almost always do. But they're still limited, and that's what the Chinese government wanted. That's what Turkey wanted. That's what Erdogan was after. He's trying to build a caliphate over there to take over the world. That's what he's doing. Iran don't like him either. Abedini was arrested, and then he got released. Pakistan is following the same kind of Sharia law, and that's why Asa Bibi was locked up for nothing. She didn't do anything. India has a BJP party, a Hindu party. Very radical. And when they came into power, they were warned. Well, the Christian leaders over there were warning that there will be persecution of Christians and churches now since they got in there. And there have been. If you think the things that the apostles are teaching and Paul's teaching here is just something just to laugh at, you need to have another look around. Because, see, Paul suffers as an evildoer. That's exactly what Asiya Bibi was. She didn't do anything wrong. She drank out of water and handed the glass to three other women who was working. They happened to be Muslim. And in Pakistan, they have a caste system like India does. Christians are worse than, you know, the lowest dung on earth in Pakistan. Christians in India many times are some of the lowest rungs on the social scale. You suffered trouble as an evildoer. Abedini did. And the recent example, those five pastors in China, Pastor Brunson and that other evangelist I missed, all of them suffering as an evildoer. Yes, even unto bonds like Paul. Now see, the devil can lock us up, lock everybody up, every Christian they can find. You're an evildoer, you're no good, we're going to lock your butt up. But the word of God is not bound. During Ceausescu's reign in Romania, he was a bloody tyrant. Voice of the Martyrs founder is where he came from. And he had been locked up. His wife didn't know where he was. And he was in solitary confinement. He started preaching the gospel, as if he was preaching to a big crowd. And there were people on the outside working for his release. Nobody knew if he was even alive, but he was able to get released. Left the country. And, of course, his family went with him. That's where Voice of the Martyr started. And he was up in a meeting, I think it was Canada, talking about this. And a guy came up and witnessed to him. And he says, you know, I was in prison. It was clear across the world somewhere. And he says, late at night, I could hear somebody preaching the word of God. And he had come, from what I understood, come to know the Lord. And, you know, this is just the way the Lord works. You can preach the word of God, but even the Lord said, my words are spirit and they are life. And so he was preaching the word of God, locked up in Romania, and only God knows how many people were listening to him in other jail cells around the world. Totally unconnected. Well, that can't happen. Well, if that's what you think, then you're serving the wrong God. Because we have reported it from true, reliable sources of the things that's going on. Not to mention what we've experienced ourselves. So the word is not bound. You may be bound. The word is not bound. And the word of God is not bound to the time frame that you're thinking of. And as I've told even native pastors, it's not your timing, it's God's timing. Everything is in his timing. Even in America, in this political hellhole of politics, and all the people that are absolutely schizophrenically mad, like Waters, just absolutely off her rocker at times. She sounds like she's crazy. And she's got people that clap and love her. You know, they're as crazy as she is, but that's the climate we're in. Being popular does not make you righteous. the beast, Revelation 13, he's going to be popular. Whole world's going to follow him. That don't make him right either. He's the deceiver and a liar. How is the world going to know the truth if the church shuts up? If the leaders and the Christians, the teachers, all of them, can't endure hardness. They can't trust in the grace of Christ. They don't believe in miracles. They're afraid to step their toe into the tidal pool of persecution or disposition to the point where people hate you for what you do. So Paul says, therefore I do endure all things for the elect's sake. Those are the believers. That they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. This is our goal. That's what he's trying to tell Timothy. Endure all things as a soldier. Be prepared to be called an evildoer. Be prepared to be thrown into bonds, into prison, into jail. But know that the word of God is not bound. And you're doing it for the elect's sake. You're doing it for Christ Jesus who died for them so that they can obtain that salvation that is only found in him and get in eternal glory. Now, while there are the fruits of the Spirit, the ultimate fruit here is what Paul's trying to tell Timothy. And the fruit just isn't winning people to the Lord, but the fruit is the one that is being faithful here. Paul goes on to say, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. That is solid teaching in a troubled world. And they were in the Roman Empire. Paul had been put in prison. He had been, the Jews hated him. He had people following, Paul and his gang that were roaming the Roman Empire, preaching the gospel. They had Jews that follow him around. Once they found out who he was, they were going after him. He was well known. Because he was a high mucky muck in Jerusalem, in the area. He said he was a Jew of the Jew. Of the Jews, he kept the law blameless, a Pharisee of the Pharisees. But when Christ came and appeared to him, Paul called himself the chief of sinners. I did these things ignorantly. That's what the gospel does. Of these things put in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of hearers. And there's a lot of things that we shouldn't be arguing about. But we do. And it all centers around, most of the time, denominational doctrines. And I've seen it even in the Christian leaders, where they will argue and get mad because their doctrine doesn't match the other doctrine. Yet we all read the same Bible, we serve the same Lord, and yet they don't get along. The church in America you better be careful. Because you are not where you need to be. So he goes ahead and he says to Timothy, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And that's important. You divide the word of God accordingly. You read it and you study the verses in context. You study the chapters in context. And you connect them. And you find there's a background in the Old Testament to what you find in the New. And the reason that you find that connection is because the apostles were doing the same thing that Christ did. He taught out of the Tanakh, the Old Testament. And when I hear churches and pastors throw out the Old Testament, that is so dumb. You are robbing your people of rich teaching. I teach the entire Word of God. I take you back to the beginning. I've done that many times. I can go back in that Tanakh, and I can preach out of it, and I can relate it to what's going on today. Rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they'll increase unto more ungodliness. You know what I mean? He says, strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. He goes and says, shun profane and vain babblings. They'll just produce ungodliness. See, and that's what we do a lot of times. You know, we'll swallow some concept that's totally against God. But boy, we'll choke on just some little nugget that we should be doing. By this shall they know that you are my disciples, that you are divided, you argue over your doctrines to the point of hating one another. No, that you love one another. But see, the word is there. It's up to you to decide what you want to do with it. James talks about the tongue. Get into James. He'll tell you a thing or two about the tongue. A world of iniquity. A fire, a tongue that sets on course the very fires of hell. Good old James, he just lets you have it, boy. Take your little tongue and stick it out there. Gossip and innuendo, profane and stupid babbling, stupid ideas, trying to get people away from the truth of the gospel. I could give you a lot of examples. I'm not going to. Stick with the apostolic doctrines, the apostolic word of God here. Stick with the Old Testament. Because the one fulfills the other. They're connected. And their word will eat as does a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus. These were two that, as an example, he says, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Now that sounds like today. The resurrection is past. So, in other words, they're somewhere in the future beyond the resurrection, but heaven isn't here yet, so you know the resurrection hasn't happened. You know, and on we've had a lot of screwy teachings like this, and we still have screwy teachings today in the church that a lot of people believe. And you can't tell them anything. If that's what you want to believe, help yourself. But see, we got a lot of Hymenaeuses and Philetuses. We have had for years. And most of the deception, it is decades and centuries old. It's already been done and believed and taught in your major religious institutions for centuries now. Been followed down the line. But see, this is what Paul says. Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure, having this seal. The Lord knows them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Now that sums it up. The Lord knows those who are obedient, those who are faithful, those who honor his word, those who keep the word of God, those who walk in love, those who try to develop the fruits, those who are serious about this. But if you call your, you know, your name as one being belonging to Christ, and you're walking in the iniquity, the lust of the flesh of the world all the time, you're in trouble. And that's what Paul's saying. Faith and obedience and holiness. He says, but in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver. That's the believers, gold and silver, your faith, being tried, walking in this, as he's telling Timothy to. But also of wood and of earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. Unfortunately. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared for every good work. Purge yourself from these things. Don't be like Hymenaeus and Philetus. Don't give in to a lot of the stuff that we do in the Americanized version of Christianity. You have a Christian that gets hurt in the church, he just gets run over. Look, he's hurt. Fine, let me get the car. Woof. Thump, 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 and away you go. If there's any little bit that you can salvage, we throw water on it. Well, you know, we don't do it like that. That's not right. You know, who are you? I know exactly what I'm talking about. And I know whence the words came. Oh, yeah. The elders and the deacons who thought they knew what they were talking about. Of course, I was a young lad. I was a pastor. And to them, I was too zealous. Well, that's life. I was on fire. They weren't. And when I got a going, they got burnt because, well, they'd rather play softball and win at softball and get a championships. A lot of pride there, but to do what I was calling them to do would get them out of their comfort zone. So I was the bad guy. That's the way it is. And it wasn't nothing. At the time it was. that's the way we do it in the churches. You see, these people, and even when they bring in a pastor, when they're trying pastor tryouts, you know, you're bringing in a pastor. You know, they're looking for somebody like maybe a Billy Graham or David Wilkerson or maybe somebody like Elvis Presley. I don't know, you know. They look after the flesh. And say, you shouldn't even consider a pastor in a church, a new pastor, unless you as a church have fasted and prayed. Seriously. And I don't mean for a day. I don't mean for just one meal. You should be fasting over this at least 3 days prior to when he shows up. Or whoever it is you're bringing in to consider. But we don't do that. Well, how do you know? Have you visited every church? Oh, Lord, no, I haven't. I don't have to. Before the children of Israel could even begin, when they were at Mount Sinai to get before the Lord, they had to sanctify themselves for 3 days. There was a number of things that went with that. But today we would call that fasting and prayer, separating yourself unto God, an attitude looking to the Lord. Paul goes on to say, flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, and with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. I think these are great admonitions of Paul. You know, our youth today are really, many of them, in trouble. And Tower was telling me last night about a couple who had gotten divorced, separated, and they have one boy, but she thinks that he's a girl. And the whole thing's really confusing, and especially for the kid. So when the kid's with his mother, he goes by a girl's name and wears girl's clothing. When he goes to his dad, he won't wear girl's clothing. The dad even has witnesses of the boy not wanting to wear girl's clothing. And he goes by a boy's name. So the mother is trying to get the dad in trouble to lose all of his parental rights because he insists that his son is a son, while his estranged wife thinks that the boy wants to be a girl. Now see, this is all this transgender, all this knuckleheaded stuff that's going on. Franklin Graham was tweeting out, and if you follow us on Instagram, you'll see a lot of stuff from him and a lot of others, because their stuff comes through our feed. It also comes through all of our Twitter accounts. But at any rate, he was talking about a school in the UK where a teacher brought this out, that there was, I forgot how many, it was in the teens. There was quite a few, maybe 9 to 12, I don't know, the number was up there, of boys now who were suddenly saying that they're girls. See, and if you look in the movies, we spend a lot of time in the movies. Every guy that you see on these sitcoms, they portray him as an idiot almost. And many of these serious dramas, you will always see a woman in charge, almost 9 times out of 10, put her in this supervisory role in order to create conflict. I mean, what we need is true godly role models for male and female. But you look at the young girls today and even the older girls, dear God in heaven, there's no relation to what the girls looked like when I was growing up. These look like Oboe down at the corner store. You know, sloppy looking jeans, sloppy looking shirt, a ball cap on backwards, hair's a mess. I mean, you couldn't tell she was a female if you tried. Of course, unless she had no clothes on, but you get the drift here? And in the churches, are we standing up against all this? No, we just keep quiet and play church. You're losing your kids. I've been worrying about this for years, but everybody seems to be deaf in one ear and can't hear out the other. But see, you can't just say this. People got to want to hear it, but they don't. See, this is society because society is lawless. We are in that time period, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, where Paul warns of this lawlessness. And he also warns of the lack of natural affections in Timothy. Natural affection. The natural affection of a female gender baby growing up to be female. She grows up and she lacks that most of the time because mom and dad don't even have a defined image themselves. And you have the things that they watch doing the same things. And there's nobody that really stands up and says, let a boy grow up to be a boy. And I say, let the boys and the girls grow up to be as they are. But it's not that simple because some of these kids are growing up and as soon as they get born, they have an unclean spirit within them. And they get in there and these kids grow up and nobody has the spiritual know-how to discern. It's pathetic. But, see, Paul's just saying flee youthful lust, but dear God in heaven, we've got so many things here that these kids have to put up with. So much deception. You know, if you want to pervert things, you pervert it for yourself and keep your hands off the children. The innocence of youth is exactly what the devil wants to ruin. Because even Hitler knew that. And so did the Muslims. I seen a picture the other day of a young Muslim boy who was wearing jihad with a bandana. He was wearing army fatigues. He had a gun around his back and the gun was as big as he was and he was walking. And I seen another crowd of Muslims led by a boy who was standing in front of that crowd, they were all crying about putting a Sia Bibi to death. See, you convert a young mind to anything, and they will follow it. See, the Bible tells us, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it. That truth will hold true for the devil and for anybody else that practices it. And you have got over in the Gaza Strip, and you wonder why they have so much trouble. Everybody blames Israel, including churches. You're nuts. You know what they did from the very beginning over there? Arafat was teaching these children blood hatred. In kindergarten on up, they used Disney characters even to teach them how dirty the Jews were and how they needed to kill them. And how you need to die for Allah in order to get into paradise. That's all they taught them. And now you've had several generations grow up who taught other generations that. And you've got the whole thing a mess. And when you teach blood hatred, and you have the shedding of innocent blood flooding the land, you will not have peace. He'll try to make peace. Nothing will last. So in an instance, what Paul is saying here is the same thing I'm trying to tell you right now. If you're going to be a leader, or if you're going to be a Christian that's on fire for God, where do you stand? Righteousness, faith, charity, and peace, and have a pure heart. He says, but foolish and unlearned Christians avoid, knowing that they do gender strife. Stay away from that. The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach and patient. Now make no mistake. In the context that he's teaching that, this is fine. But Paul himself, as well as our Lord, you have to understand that when you're reading these things, this isn't an end-all thing that not, you know, 100% of the time, that's the way I'm going to be. No, I'll tell you. The Lord, one minute, was showing compassion to the woman caught in adultery, because he knew full well that all those that caught her were hypocrites. They were Jews who knew this woman did this all the time. And they knew where she did it with and with whom. They caught her in the act. Sure they did, because they knew where she went all the time. But they're righteous, you know. They didn't say anything until now, and they brought her before Jesus. All righteous Jews standing there, pharisaical. Okay, what are you going to do about this, Mr. Messiah? He just writes in the dirt. Finally, he says, you who are without sin, cast the first stone. And they knew full well, every one of them. The oldest, most wisest, who had partaken in this, they finally decided, yeah, this is a bad idea. I'm leaving. And the other did too. And so he looks up to the woman. He says, where are your accusers? And she says, they're gone, sir. He says, I won't condemn you either. But he said, go and sin no more. Go and sin no more. He gave her compassion. He told the lawyers, the Sadducees, a lot of the others, they were snake and vipers. He told the children of Israel they were their father, the devil. He rode through the streets of Jerusalem. They were throwing down bows in front of, he was riding on the, on fulfilling prophecy, riding on the, on a colt. Into town, into Jerusalem. They were, hail Messiah. He was the greatest. He was the son of David. He was the Messiah. They were, he that came in the name of the Lord. Well, after that event, he cleaned the temple. He went in the temple the next day. Took a whip and drove him out. Now that's not meek. That's the wrath. You have to understand that in the leading. There are those that need that meekness. Even Paul, he was teaching for a long time. You find this in Acts. And everywhere he went, this woman went before him, telling everybody that she was being irritating, telling everybody that he was the man of God and all this. And he finally realized the spirit that was in her, and he rebuked this spirit of divination. See, there's times you're not going to be just gentle, but you're going to be teaching, but with the authority and the anointing of God. But when you, like he says here, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance, the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. And this is exactly what you see in the world today. Nations have been taken captive by the devil at his will. You see this in the Muslim nations, the Hindu nations. You see this in the communist nation of China. You see this in North Korea. You see this in America. So there's a lot of truth here. And when we get done, which we're about done today, we will be in chapter 3. In the last days. Now, I was just talking about this. And so this will be an interesting study here. In the last days. Absolutely an unbelievable. And so, don't forget on our Battle Line show, Thursdays, we are going through the book of Revelation. And this one, we're going through 1st and 2nd Timothy. And we got a couple of others in there we're going through in that Pauline series. And we're coming down to the first part of this month, to Hanukkah, and then to Christmas and New Year's. And Christmas is a season of goodwill. Now you say, and I know the people who talk about this, and I know the same thing that they know. I have talked about it. That the timing of the birth of Christ is not at Christmas. But see, the thing of it, the issue here is, it doesn't matter that Christmas was not the real legitimate birth time of Christ. That has nothing to do with it. It's a time that fulfills what the angels said when they appeared to the shepherds. Peace on earth, goodwill towards men. Christmas is a time for Christians to be able to gather together and reflect to the world goodwill towards all men, even your enemies. And look for that true ultimate peace, which they're not going to find except in Christ. It is a time when a Christian can lift up the name of Christ. And for all those who say that in the winter, it is a satanic holiday during that season. Good grief, give me a break. That's dumb. That's one of the dumbest arguments there is. Because I got news for you. Satan has a lot of satanic holidays on the calendar. We don't have nothing to do with him. If you're celebrating Christmas, celebrate it. Because the angel said, peace on earth, goodwill towards men. That's what his birth was. It was the release of grace and redemption through Christ. God's grace came to us, and we received it, believed upon it, and it's imputed unto us for righteousness' sake. Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness' sake. And that grace that God gives us comes out of God's mercy. God's mercy comes out of his love for us. And it's that love of the truth that the world will reject. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Peace on earth, goodwill towards men. And another one, do it as unto the Lord. You're doing it to the Lord, not to man. Keep a pure heart. Keep his love in you. And as far as Santa Claus goes, you know, when I was a boy waiting for Santa Claus. Both of my, you know, we all went to church. And not for a moment did I think that it was the devil. Even when I was going to, you know, collect candy on Halloween, I had no thought of the devil. I was thinking of candy. Now, I don't, in any way, okay Halloween. Christmas is different. As far as Santa goes, I don't really go there because of my age, and you know, but you'll have to figure that one out with you and the Lord. Raising our own kids, we didn't do that. We didn't do the Santa Claus thing. But see, we put a lot of heavy burdens on the children, but we need to raise them in righteousness and truth. There's no way Santa can replace Christ. So at any rate, remember next week, Tower will be with us, and it will be officially December. Hard to believe. Look to the Lord, and we're going to be getting out of here. Good night, everybody. We thank you for joining us today on WARN Radio, the Watchman Alert Radio Network. This is the Watchman, and for all of us here, shalom, everyone. See you again on the radio.
Truly embracing your complexities means rejecting anything that can harm who you are, like smoking cigarettes, which can damage nearly every part of your body. Tap the banner to see more. This free life. Freedom to be tobacco free.
Every legend is built. This one starts with a frame. We raised a great stature and gave it a name. The BMW X7. It's the biggest one yet. Fitting power and style, the best you can get. An all-leather interior, its luxury shows, so we kept it right up for all of three rows. With its dynamic driving, you chase your desires. The true mark of this legend is how it inspires. The first ever BMW X7. Make every day legendary.
Exceptional offers through BMW Financial Services at bmwnyc.com. BMW of Manhattan. Driven by more.